Well, I got these sound bites here and these CDs if anybody wants. I got 11, I think 11 copies if anybody really wants one here. I didn't know there'd be 18 people here, but I got 11 here.
Oh, they're free.
They're free. Well, this topic, I had been hearing Professor Jim McCanny talk about off and on. And the guy that really woke me up to the realization of this was a radio talk show host on RBN named John Moore. Any of you heard of him?
John or Jim?
John J.R. Moore. He's got a show Sunday afternoons on RBN. And this guy's a former Green Beret certified firearms instructor, survival preparedness expert. He's got really high credentials. You know, he brought this up that not all alphabet soup agencies are relocating out to the middle of the country. Just keep essential elements like the CIA, the NSA, they're moving out to the middle of the country around Denver. The NSA just set up a data center south of Salt Lake City. And I guess what's happening is they're trying to get away from these coastlines because as Planet X comes deeper into our system, these agencies have to relocate up to higher ground out in the middle of the country. And that also makes sense because Denver is supposed to become the new western capital of the USA, according to former insider Al Bielek. And I guess Atlanta, Georgia would become the new eastern capital. Now, after I heard John Moore talk about this, I uncovered this in my own research that there's only like two more space shuttle flights left. And sure enough, I uncovered a contract that NASA awarded to an outside subsidiary 3 years ago where NASA would start relocating their own people. And this is like a $75 million contract. It was just a short three-paragraph blank statement issued back in the end of 2007 that they'd be relocating their people. But it's really, really blank. It doesn't really give you details on it. Sure enough, I did a FOIA request on it, and most of it's blacked out, and it doesn't really tell you anything. So that's just another dot connector right there. Now, there's no, you know, we don't have access to the high-grade commercial telescopes like the South Pole Telescope, so we can just speculate as to what this thing really is. Planet X has two different meanings. It means the 10th planet, and it also means an unidentified object by the astronomical community. In most likelihood, it's either a T or a L-class Ceres brown dwarf star. That's the best consensus out there as to what this object really is. It could be a rock, it could be a comet, but the point is it doesn't matter what it really is. There's a researcher out there named Lucas. He calls it the cosmic event, which I think sums it up quite well, because if nobody can prove what it really is, and just call it the cosmic event. Point is, it doesn't matter what it is. It comes here every 3,600 years and causes great cataclysms, and the elite know about this. They've known about it for over 200 years. Because over 200 years ago, there were some astronomers noting perturbations in the outer planets, Neptune and Pluto, and they sent the Pioneer 10 and 11 spacecraft out there back in the late 70s, and then NASA launched its Infrared Astronomical Observatory spacecraft back in 1983, and there were six mainstream publications that put this out back in 1983, the Washington Post and New York Times, that they had indeed this, located the 10th planet out there, and then all of a sudden there was a lid on this, and Now, just occasionally, you'll get a blurb about it and buried in some article. So in their twisted sense of mentality, the elite are telling us what's going to happen to us, but we have to be willing to see it. You know, a lot of patriots have always thought, what are all these underground bases for? And what are these FEMA camps for? Well, according to John Moore, these FEMA camps may not necessarily be used to detain so-called, quote, unconstitutional, politically incorrect people. They may be used because they're going to need them. They're going to need them for refugees when these tsunamis start flooding the coastlines. So once I heard John Moore mention that, what the FEMA camps are really for, that really made sense to me. Because, you know, you know, they're always holding off, holding off. It seems like nobody's ever going to go in these camps. Well, maybe it's because they're waiting for something to happen, like a cosmic event. And as far as the solar scorching goes, what's going to happen is Planet X gets deeper in. Me and my friend John DiNardo think Planet X is between Jupiter and the main asteroid belt right now. And there's been some evidence of this, because there's been fireballs that have, unprecedented number of fireballs that have been hitting Jupiter within the last year and a half. And also the ancient Mesopotamian, I'm not good at pronouncing that, Mesopotamian texts say that the last time it came in was between Jupiter and the main asteroid belt. So this, the object is obviously getting closer. And there were some fireballs here. This is stuff we need to watch out for, because Planet X has a debris field of rocks a quarter of a million miles on either side of it. And there were some fireballs here that were seen about maybe 2 weeks ago. There were two that came within, like, one of them was 49,000 miles away from us. Then there was a fireball that came down. It was seen from Mexico all the way up to Long Beach, California. I mean, these are things we need to watch out for, because this Planet X has a debris field of rocks. It's accompanied by hordes of comets, asteroids, meteors. It's a very dark object, too. You can't see it with visible telescopes. You have to have access to infrared or ultraviolet telescopes to see it, because it's a very cool star. And it has a massive dust cloud surrounding it. And that's one reason they launched the South Pole Telescope down in Antarctica about 3 years ago, so they could watch this thing coming in. And that's what I think they've always been doing with all these space shuttle flights. They've been up there watching this thing come our way. And according to John Moore, they've been tracking it with the Pioneer, thanks to the Pioneer spacecraft back in the 70s, they've been tracking it ever since. And it's unusual that, you know, most of the high-grade commercial telescopes are in the southern hemisphere, because uniquely there's none like that in the northern hemisphere. You got Hawaii, you got Chile, you got the South Pole Telescope, all in the southern hemisphere. And the best indications are that this object always comes in from the south. It's approaching our solar system from the south. It's getting ready to pierce the plane of the ecliptic between Jupiter and the main asteroid belt. Any questions so far?
Yeah, this has been something I've been following for about the last 3 years. There's a number of things. For instance, those deep underground military bases that I'm in with Dom. D-U-M-B, deep underground
right,
military
right.
bases. About 6 months ago, they had videos on there where you went on the little trains under there, the nice ballistic pendulums that can hit Mach 2 between L.A. and New York there, well, B.C. Neat tricks, but there's a whole bunch of strangely enough, a lot of this stuff you can get out of history. Remember Velikovsky?
Yeah, Velikovsky, yeah.
Yeah, that character predicted that Venus would be a lot hotter than the general public and the general scientific group said it would be. But it turned out that he was right. It was even hotter than Mercury.
Yeah, he says Venus was a comet at one time, and it's actually settled into its orbit where it's at now, and it still has a little bit of a tail on it. Most people don't know that.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is, you go back to Herodotus, and the Egyptians were bragging how old their civilization was. It said not once, but twice, the stars have changed their path through the sky, which means you've had large land masses shifting. For instance, you've ever played Crack the Whip? Now, this is where a bunch of kids form a straight line, they start running across an open field, and then they start curving. And the guy that's making the short curve on the inside, he can go fairly slow, but the last one on the end, they have to be running on the guy on the end. Well, our planet is a lot like that. We've got this nice, solid, that core of iron and nickel. But if you go out farther and farther, it's like this crack of the whip.
Yeah, you just gave me some more ideas. Thanks for interjecting here.
Go.
Phil Schneider was one of these guys exposing the deep underground military bases, and he was murdered back in January of 96 for his exposing of these bases. And Planet X exerts a molesting field of gravitational and electromagnetic fields upon Earth, even though it's billions of miles away from us right now. Professor McCanny calls this action at a distance. Even though this thing can pass us as close as 15 million miles away, it can still cause great cataclysms here. And this is called action at a distance because this is a massive star. It's like over 900 masses of Jupiter. So it's going to have a tremendous electromagnetic and gravitational field effect on us. And that's why we're starting to see sinkholes all over the U.S. right now. Well, actually all over the planet. We're seeing main gas line breaks. We're seeing water main breaks. Like we just seen in San Bruno, California. That was triggered by a 2.1 earthquake. And that right, practically right along the San Andreas fault line. And it's hard to tell if the San Bruno thing was connected to Planet X coming in, but the point is we're going to be seeing more and more earthquakes. As a matter of fact, they're up 51% this year, the earthquakes.
There's two major ones going to hit Southern California this year, this coming year, in about 6 to 9 months. The thing that I think we need to be careful about is the dear old sun. I'm a ham radio operator, got my licenses on the wall, and we watch the sun pretty closely. And we had a long, quiet period, unusually long. But usually when that period is quiet for a long time, when it comes out of it, it's really strong.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Every 11 years, we go through this solar cycle.
More or less.
Well, Planet X is right by Jupiter right now, and its perihelion, which is Jupiter's closest approach to the sun, is going to occur in the middle of next year. And if Planet X is right by that thing, we can see incredible solar blasting from the sun, maybe around the middle of next year. You see, this December 2012 date, I think, is a big distraction for the masses. They want people to stay focused on that date because they don't want the people to be prepared. The elite are just carried about their rat's ass and getting underground. But,
there's about 8 different religions and groups of people that predicted this year, 2012. So I think there's something serious going to happen there. Not saying that there aren't going to be a few foreshadowings or precursors to that. Well, like our economy. They're saying that the recession ended a year and a half ago. Ain't no way, son. We're on the abyss. We're part way down, and we're picking. You know, it's kind of like my age. I'm over the hill, and I'm picking up speed.
Right. We've actually entered a depression already. It may not be as severe as the 1933 one, but we're in a depression right now.
Not yet, but we're there. We'll get there.
We're getting pretty damn close, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the sunspot cycles every 11 years.
Yes, sir.
Observers of these have also noticed that every other sunspot cycle, there's a drought. Oddly, they don't know why, but oddly, there's a drought every 22 years.
I didn't even know that.
We're close to that.
I don't claim to be an expert in this. I'm just rehashing what I hear from other talk show hosts and researchers, and just trying to get the word out. I didn't know that. That's interesting to know. But
is this a 22-year?
And another indication that we're getting really close to Planet X coming is when you see massive inundations of flooding going on everywhere like we've been seeing. I mean, where I'm from, I'm from Wisconsin, they had massive flooding up there 2 years ago, and I had never heard of anything like that in a long time.
Happening again this year.
Yeah, China's been having it, Pakistan. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people dying from floods right now. So there's a lot of things to watch out for as this thing comes in.
By the way, the founder of this group, Carl Crenshaw, when he ran for president in 72, back in Andrews Air Force Base, he asked, what's that big hangar there? Oh, that's where we're working on weather control. And if you know anything about HARP, we have weather control. I've seen hurricanes going from east to west, come close to an island, make a square corner to miss it by south, go on, then make another square corner and go back north again. That ain't natural.
Well, thanks. You're really giving me some thoughts there that I wanted to discuss. Weather modification technology, that's already really old technology. They've been using it a long time to steer hurricanes. You may not even know this, but on 9/11, on September 11th, there was a hurricane parked right outside New York City. It was like Category 1 or 2. It was headed in a straight line trajectory towards New York City that morning, and then all of a sudden at 8 o'clock that morning made a 110-degree turn as if it came in, did its job, and left town. And I've also uncovered the research that this lady named Dr. Judy Wood has done, and I find her to be the most credible scientist in the 9/11. According to her, she's the one that told me about this hurricane, because you ain't going to hear it from folks like Alex Jones or George Norrie. Directed energy weapons were used to bring those towers down, because those towers turned from steel into dust. And there's lingering effects of molecular dissociation from that. And that's why they can't, they still can't rebuild there, because this energy weapon leaves a lingering effect that lasts for years. That's another issue. I don't want to get into that right now. But
I tell you what, we have salt here that tells us how to bring those down. You simply get some toner from one of the office supply stores. You go to the paint store and get some aluminum powder that they use for pigmenting the aluminum paint. So you've got nano aluminum, nano iron oxide, so you've got nano thermite, and that's why there were puddles of molten iron there 2 and 3 days after those towers came down.
Months?
All right. You know more about it than I do, but that's my thing. None of us is as good as all of us. And all you're good, but I've helped you a little bit this morning.
They've helped a lot. Back to the weather modification thing. Yeah, they've been using that for years. I mean, they use it on Katrina. They're using it for earthquakes. But the boys with the toys, the Black Ops guys, aren't going to use it for everything, because they know this Planet X is coming, and they don't want to destroy the whole planet. They got to survive themselves. So that they're using it just to fulfill some political agendas, but I don't believe they're using it, all that weather modification technology, for everything. Go ahead, please.
Is there any type of organized resistance or preparation for this? If this is happening, what do these experts say that the average person here on the street, here in the city, should be able to do to protect yourselves from this, or to prepare for this?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that would like to know when it's going to get here and what are the solutions. I've never lived through the apocalypse, so I don't have experience to tell you what you got to do to prepare. It's in your best own personal decision to decide what you're going to have to do to prepare for this, but there are some general things you can keep in mind. You want to store up on food, of course. You may want to start digging into the earth, I mean, like the elite are doing, because the solar scorching is going to scorch people. You can strengthen the roofs on your house, because we're going to start seeing over 200 mile an hour winds when this thing gets closer. You can buy a boat, because you know there's going to be flooding everywhere. And even though this thing is supposed to wipe out the vast majority of the population, there's still going to be pockets of survival communities out there where people are still surviving. I don't believe this thing's going to wipe everybody out. I mean, they're saying like 90-95% of the population. So there are some general things you can do to prepare for it. I would say the number one priority is to get spiritually right with your Creator, because in the last moments of a cataclysm, He's done this in the past. He'll supernaturally protect you if you call out to Him. And according to my friend John DiNardo, God is actually sending this thing our way. It doesn't make sense, but he says God loves us that much that he's willing to send this thing here to destroy us, because we're not turning our attention to him enough. Yeah, that's the Denver International Airport's one of the places the elite have their deep underground bases at. As a matter of fact, they got murals on the walls at that airport that even show Planet X on the wall, but most people won't notice it unless you're really into this. Denver Airport is one of the places they're going to, Cheyenne Mountain there in Colorado. John Morris says that, he trains a lot of he does a lot of firearm training there in Missouri. The Navy actually considers the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as one of the safe havens in the future. And John Morris teaches a lot of Navy people. Well, isn't that something? Because, this is what John Morris said, that there's a lot of retired U.S. Navy submarine people living in the Ozarks. So the Navy has known about this since at least the early 80s. Damn, my mind went blank. Any good questions yet?
Yeah, about the water kid. There's about three of those instances, and the underground ones right here in Arizona. Los Alamos is another place that's good. Big old tractor trailers disappear there and pop up in that 22-mile-wide thing underneath the Denver airport. That's kind of old information. But there's some other things you ought to consider. If you want to get prepared for coming troubles, like you had in 1859, there was a big coronal mass ejection that wiped out the power grid. Now, in 1859, that meant the telegraph wires got hot, dropped down, and those hot wires sent a few fires. Now, if you want to get prepared for real trouble that might be coming, because if the electric power grid goes down, literally no transformer is going to take about 10 years at our current rate of production, and it's going to go down. So just go home, go out there and pull the switch, cut off all your electricity, park your car because you won't be able to refill it with gasoline. So live for a week without using an automobile or public transportation or having any electricity, and you get an idea of what you need. Personally, I say food and for a few months, water, a good supply of that here. And for long term, you better learn how to grow a garden.
Thank you.
Yeah, those are great solutions there to prepare you out. Well, another thing Clay wanted me to mention was there's going to be a pole shift as this thing comes in. John Morris stated that there's going to be like maybe a 10 to 15 degree pole shift. We're going to see tsunamis, earthquakes, more sinkholes. Let's see. Oh, by the way, the CIA, they spent $23 million to relocate out to the Denver area. NASA was $75 million, so NASA spent a lot of money to move their people. And they had NASA had until the end of last year to get their people moved with optional extensions of up to 1 to 2 more years past that. Let's see what else. I'm just flooded with information. I mean, there's so much more I'd like to talk about. I didn't really have notes here to prepare for this today.
Well, maybe I can give you.
Yeah, help me out.
Tier 2 technology. There's the technology that we're allowed to use here, like cell phones, so we can be tracked. The newer cell phones, the iPads, and so on, they all have GPS in it. So if you have a cell phone on you, the government knows where you are. And they can program a rocket carried by one of the warthogs out here and send it to you real personal. The guy that used to live next to me worked for Raytheon. Says, oh yeah, those things are accurate within a millimeter. So when the census came around, they took GPS readings on the front porch of every domicile here. So they know who to target and when and when. But this tier 2 stuff, space shuttle is antique, it's obsolete. We've got much better stuff, like the UAV XB-150, that sucker, they had it in the newspaper, this gal that's talking about doing research on new ceramics, that stuff is put on these critters that do Mach 20, 15,000 miles an hour, and these things are fat, and it's kind of handy because, you know, if the Russians see ICBMs coming, they may send some back. But if we wanted to bomb something like Pakistan or North Korea, they can use these little Mach 20 critters and knock those suckers off, and they aren't the ICBM things, and we could take out North Korea. But they're underground mostly. That's going to be a hard job. So this new technology that they don't let us know about, like the fellow who was here last week, this guy says if he can get a hold of his steroids, he figures he could easily live to be 1,000. He's 67. He looks younger than you do.
Where have you heard that term, tier 2? Because Professor Jim McCanny's the one that always mentions that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of his books. There's the one about the phony history. There's a lot of history that they simply doesn't do it. Like all the red-haired giants, the corpses they find out here in the West, they're turned over to universities and they disappear into a shelf somewhere. But, we've got Bigfoot, Sasquatch, we've got all sorts of other bipedal humans sharing this planet with us. But except for a few people that meet these night roaming creatures, you're not going to find out about them.
That's why I think they're shutting down the space shuttle program there in Florida, because Florida is going to be wiped out by tsunami soon, and they're going to have to continue with their launching of whatever from a different location, and I think it's going to be near Truth or Consequences in New Mexico, in a place called Spaceport America, but they're not going to be, they're going to be launching the elites into orbit as these cataclysms get closer, and coincidentally, Spaceport America in New Mexico is high above sea level and is part of the facilities underground. So that was my own discovery right there. But there's other places they could still launch the elites into orbit from. Another one is near Salt Lake City, Utah, and that's in the middle of the country.
Yeah. Where are they going to go? I can tell you. There's a fellow in Scotland that they're trying to extradite to this country so they can put him in jail. He hacked into the defense network, the internet there, and when he started asking about the space command, he got the crew listing of two of our spaceships, and there's a base on the moon. So, once they leave here, they've got a place to go.
And yeah, I can't remember that guy's name. I know exactly who you're talking about, but I think the elite are at times going to need to get up to the space station, and they've been hauling tons and tons of cargo up there just recently. Me and John DiNardo think that's one of the places they're going to. And go ahead, Clay.
Yeah, in terms of launching some of the elite into the space, that's one of the principal reasons for the biosphere being built, so that they can experiment with the artificial environment. The problem is it didn't work. And the reason why it didn't work is because they were following models of what the atmosphere is now. We're in the wrong atmosphere. This atmosphere doesn't belong to us. So that's why it failed. We're supposed to have the atmosphere that Adam had. And when sin came in, it changed it. The sky is not supposed to be blue. It should more look like orange or something like that.
Right.
We have the wrong pressure. We should have higher pressure and higher oxygen. Adam could run across continents without even busting sweat. Okay. That's the problem with launching into space. They're doing it wrong. There's a guy in Texas who actually was doing it right, made his own atmosphere. And the fish in their crew without him feeding. So there's something to that.
Yeah, that's an interesting dot connector. Yeah, this has been a long known fact for years that the elites have bases underground on the moon and Mars. I mean, there's a number of options that they're probably going to explore as Planet X gets closer in. They might go up to the space station at various times. They might try to go to the base on the moon. They probably have a batch consignment of slave labor up there on the moon and Mars. I mean, that's what Alternative 3 was about back in the late 70s. All people like us can do is guess what they're going to do. Well, there's also been indications that this year, quite a few of them, that the sun's going to start lashing out violent solar storms at us. They had a tabletop exercise up in Boulder, Colorado earlier this year to prepare for solar storms. Mitch Ukako was on Fox News quite a few weeks ago talking about it. Here they had a defense secretary, I believe last Monday over in London, closed behind the door meeting about solar storms, said it could wipe out Great Britain. So they're really starting to think that these solar storms are really going to get severe.
By the way, one of the things that is highly kept secret is the fact that when our astronauts landed on the moon, they saw artifacts there, things that were artificially created. They've been there a long time. So that was probably done during the last cycle of civilization, before Nibiru came around. Been here a number of times, so it goes by cycles. civilization is wiped out, few remnants, build it up again, then get to about the stage we are, and get wiped out again, and a few remnants are left. It's cycle after cycle. But the only way to avoid it is to give us a number of alternatives, spread out humanity, get it on the moon, get it on Mars, and so on, so they can survive. I wouldn't want to be on that doggone space station, though.
Yeah, this is what Professor...
Radiation is it's dangerous. I mean, they have the SOHO out here watching the sun 24/7, 365, just so they know when it's safe to send astronauts off the Earth up there. You get out away from the Earth and it's wild. And we really don't know what we're getting into. For instance, Zambia has a newspaper. And they this pioneer that they shot out that's going to go to the nearest star and do it.
The pioneer's basically.
Yeah. Well, that thing has slowed down for some reason. It's actually coming back toward
I was just reading about that a few days ago, yeah.
Yeah, well, Bart has my only copy that I sent here. But we like to chit-chat about things like that. He's a little mining engineer that doesn't miss much.
Go ahead.
With all this spooky talk and scary things and horrible predictions, perhaps it's time what we can do is prepare to meet our Maker, because all of this just reminds me of one part in the Bible that says, and the living shall envy the dead. So if this were to happen, what's to live for? I think, you know, just be prepared and...
Yeah, if you're prepared, you won't be scared, and, you know, we could look at this as a really exciting thing, because for those of us that want to meet our Maker, this will make it happen.
Hey, all of us are going to meet the Maker sooner or later.
Yeah,
but many of us get out of this world alive.
Be ready. Living is fatal.
Nice.
Yeah, just, I want to go to heaven, but let's not do it today.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe at least they're just worried about God burning the place down at the end anyhow.
Right.
In other words, the big bangs come at the end of the world. Maybe they read the Bible and they know that God's going to burn it down. So instead of just total destroyer, maybe they're worried about God burning the whole thing down anyhow.
And when that happens, all the members of this group will be in the fire department.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you heard of the ancient Dogon African tribe?
Yeah.
Who the scientists there asked them about Bandex, and they could point to it and then show the pictures of it on rocks for thousands of years old.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, they got these depictions of comets and spirals carved into the rock. I think our past civilizations were trying to warn the future race that something was coming in.
It's we're going to have to close it down. So really appreciate you coming here and bringing us up to date.
Yeah, if you folks want to tune into my show, it's Saturday nights on Orion Talk Network. It's called the Light of Day Radio Show, and I got 11 CDs here if anybody wants a copy. They're free here of these Planet X sound bites that me and John DiNardo have been making.
I'll take one since I had John on my show.
Yeah, he had John on his show, as a matter of fact.
What station are you on?
It's just type in the Light of Day Radio Show.com. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. What part of Wisconsin?
Fond du Lac.
Anybody have
born and raised outside of Wausau.